Good evening. Welcome to episode 158 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. And it is September 5th, Thursday. Recording a day early, but through the magic of post-scheduling, I'll probably put this out still on Friday. And I just know my Friday is going to be really busy. My Thursday has been really busy, but some great stuff came in from Keela, and it has been another great week, personally. And I thought I should definitely still try to check in. So we're recording a day early. Hello there. So jumping right into politics, Keela had a very heartfelt story of her own experience at a veterans cemetery. How sacred the place is for our country. Just, we're going back to Trump, for lack of a better term, violating Arlington Cemetery due to using it as a backdrop for his campaign, As a family member of somebody buried at a National Veterans Cemetery in Missouri, it's supposed to be a solemn experience. That's why Section 60 exists. And by bringing his own photographers and filming in an area where he's not allowed to normally film, he disrespected the site. Period. End of discussion. If it's not for me, if it's good for me, but not for thee, yet again, showing that double standard of Trumpness. Of course, the cult doesn't care. The cult doesn't give a crap. But that's the cult for you. I was speaking to a couple of individuals this evening, actually, and we were all chuckling at the garbage that is being thrown at the wall to try to stick to Tim Walz in Minnesota, and it just kind of rolls off the wall. Not because he's in any way slippery, but because he's Teflon. He's untouchable. He is as clean as a whistle. And so they don't know what to do. They are used to somebody having skeletons in their closet. Like the felon. And they have no idea what to do in a mudslinging campaign when there's zero mud to sling. So they keep trying to make stuff up. And it is glorious. Like, let's focus on fixing potholes and lowering taxes. Well, you guys know that, logically speaking, if you lower taxes, you don't have the money to fix potholes, right? So which one is it going to be? You can't have your cake and eat it too. So if you're fighting for lower taxes for the rich, let's be honest, and then you go and say, oh, but Minnesota needs to fix their potholes. Which one is it, guys? Which one is it? I know personally, I don't feel I am paying too much in taxes. I am a very middle class, income-wise, individual. And yes, food is expensive. Yes, we're having to tighten our belts because of certain things. But again, those certain things are all rooted in corporate greed. The prices increasing are rooted in corporate greed. This was not any one president's doing. And in fact, Harris volunteering the idea of going after corporate greed is exactly what we need to do if we're going to bring prices down. It's like, okay, Yes, the right is going to argue, oh, this stinks of socialism, this stinks of communism, because you're trying to control prices. Well, that's because the Republicans have broken the market. So in a true Adam Smith invisible hand economics lesson, the cost of goods will rise and equal the supply and demand. It is basic economics 101. So when a company charges it, when it costs a company $4 to make a thing and they charge $10, that's $6 of raw profit. But because there are so many monopolies out there in the market right now, there's nobody challenging that that $6 profit, that $10 price. And we do not have a true capitalist economy right now because of it. So we either need to step in and break up these monopolies, or we need to institute price controls to slap around all of this corporate greed and push the prices back down to the fair market cost. Things like food, the demand is going to always be there. Things like a car. The used car market is through the roof right now because nobody can afford a new vehicle. So the supply continues to dwindle. The demand continues to go up. And until everyone who is willing to pay that higher price gets out of the market and prices start coming down, which we're seeing, it's starting to equalize out, there's going to be pain. But the folks that have leftover COVID money are gone. So now the individuals who still have a used vehicle are going, oh, well, I still want to unload this vehicle. I want to, so I'm going to have to go back to the actual market price of this vehicle, the blue book price of this vehicle, instead of just a random price I've pulled out of my hiney because I think it's fair and I'm going to make a good profit, and then I have enough money to make a down payment on a vehicle, whether it be used or new. For a personal example, if I was to go and Google my old white van, and this is how my insurance would do a replacement, they would go and do a market search of my geographic area and go, oh, okay, your vehicle is worth $3,000. So because of your coverage, we're going to give you $3,000 minus your deductible. It doesn't take into account the blue book value at all. That's how they do it. That's how my insurance company that I have does it. I'm not sponsored by them, so I'm not going to name drop. But the economics are completely broken. Adam Smith's invisible hand has been nailed to the wall and it's twitching, guys. The invisible hand is twitching. Because the expectation for true capitalist market is that there's a ton of little guys all producing similar things. And due to that competition, prices will stay down and they'll only go as far up as they can afford. So if the widget costs $4 to produce, they're going to charge $5 or $6 to produce. And mom and pop across the street is also charging $6. Or they take the hit and they charge $5.75, well, now it's a quality decision. Does Mom and Pop Bob over here have a better product that they're suddenly selling for cheaper? Or does Steve and Jane's product selling for $6, is their reputation, is their quality better? It's the same widget, but I didn't know I was going to end up doing an economics lesson. I apologize. But there we are. That's Adam Smith's expectation when talking about free market capitalism. The problem is, with all of the subsidies for the rich, for the oligarchy, we're not in a free market capitalist society anymore. We're in an oligarchy. The rich and powerful at the top, hoping to be subsidized by the rest of us. So with that being the case, Harris's ideas of putting some kind of quote-unquote socialist cap, that makes sense, because right now we have socialism for the rich as it is. Just consider it. Please. We're not in capitalism anymore. And we haven't been in a long time. But I got off topic, or off my plan topic there. Thank you for the economics lesson. So, aside from that little bit, Keela also brought to my attention the unfortunate news that Mongolia thumbed its nose when Putin landed in Mongolia. Mongolia's expectation, based on treaties, was to arrest him for the International Criminal Court for war crimes. Mongolia ignored that. So this is a heartbreaking development, because it's removing the teeth from the International Criminal Court. Not that it had many teeth to begin with, but they've basically punched out all of the teeth. If, you know, the signatories of the treaty, which the United States is not part of, but if the signatories of the treaty are refusing to actually enforce the treaty, the criminal court is definitely starting to falter, which is very unfortunate. Very unfortunate news. Not surprising news, but very unfortunate news. Keela also sent me an article regarding trying to get a different judge for the classified documents case, because there's definitely a show of bias in that situation. We'll see how that goes. That's why it's so important for these presidential elections, because the executive branch appoints the judges, and this last wave of Trump 45's presidency, the Republicans very successfully started packing the courts with those that agree with them and their ideals and their biases. And while the systems are still in place, this is how you gut a democracy from the inside. This is why Project 2025 is dangerous. The proposal of removing the bureaucrats, removing those that know the law, that are a lot less biased and are simply following the law with members of the cult. That's why Project 2025 is so, so dangerous. The other piece that Keela brought up was hesitancy of using 10Q due to the light Jewish connection, the light Judaism connection, especially with the matter of Gaza right now. It has a very close friend that is Palestinian. And I really appreciated the anecdote and the stories there, Keela. And it's such a mess. The Republicans love to say anybody criticizing Israel is anti-Semitic. That's not the case. It just isn't. It's the same thing as somebody saying, oh, well, you're racist because this African-American person did something that you disagreed with. No. Or this Native American person. If you're speaking out about individual actions rather than the people as a whole, that's all you're doing. You're discussing international politics. You're not discussing, oh, I'm pro-Judaism or I'm anti-Judaism. No, not at all. You're simply saying, I don't like what's going on. And the Gaza situation is such a mess. Because on one hand, back in October of 2023, when all of this started, it's almost been a year. That's the heartbreaking thing. And the hostages were taken, and Israel was attacked under commonly accepted international law. Israel had every right to retaliate. Every right. But then we need to go back, take five steps back and go, okay, I'm going to apply Minnesota's self-defense laws in this case, because it's a very fair self-defense law. It's match force. So if somebody is throwing a punch at you, you have a right to, and you have no ability to retreat, you can block and return the punch. Or you're hit by the punch and you return the punch. But Minnesota's self-defense law also states you need to get out of that situation as fast as possible. That doesn't mean you immediately get to draw a gun and shoot the individual when they've simply thrown a punch. It means you return punch for punch until you can get out. So what Israel initially did is return punch for punch. What Israel has done since, as the International Criminal Court has stated, is commit genocide. They're not going after simply the military leaders anymore. And even their own citizenry, it's being reported, is very angry at the fact, or a portion of the citizenry, that the war is still going on and they're not seeking a ceasefire because the hostages are dying. It should have been a punch for a punch, and then negotiations should have started. But what has happened instead is that Israel has punched Hamas down, and now as Hamas lays there on the ground, they have pulled out knives and guns and are still beating on Hamas. Just to continue the analogy of the self-defense. So it's all about appropriate reaction. And Israel's reaction, in my opinion, is now inappropriate. It was originally appropriate, but it no longer is appropriate, because they've started hitting the citizenry, the innocent citizenry, instead of just going after the military leaders. So in that same vein, in that same self-defense, it's punch for punch, and now the one that was initially punched has pulled out a gun and shot the person. That violates Minnesota self-defense law. Now, other states are going to be different. I live in Minnesota, so that's the law I'm referencing. Florida, for instance, has a very unique stand your ground, pull your gun, and shoot, no questions asked, from my terrible summation of it. But that's my personal opinion on the matter. It's not anti-Semitic to say, the leaders of Israel are doing a very poor job of handling the situation. I don't care about their religion right now. I care about the fact that they are performing war atrocities. In that similar vein, those 10Q being, to circle back, being originally rooted in Judaism, that really has no bearing on what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now. This isn't a religious matter. This is an international relations matter. Just like the fundamentalist crazy people who hit the towers on 9/11 and the American populace that started reeling and being anti-Islam, the five pillars of Islam, the golden rule out there of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is there in all of the religions, whether it goes from Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Taoism, it's there. Be nice to each other. If you boil every single religion down and you look at the bottom of the pot, that's what's written. Be nice to each other. Or in the famous words of Will Wheaton, don't be a dick. That's it. It has nothing to do with actual religion. So I ask you, my friend, if you're not interested in 10Q, by all means, don't participate. But simply because it is related to Judaism doesn't mean it's related to Israel. And that's a very key point that we need to keep in mind. Because there are individuals of the Jewish faith who completely disagree with what is going on internationally or at home, because there are protests in Israel right now about this matter. But we have to remember to separate the individuals at the top versus their actual decisions. Ironically enough, for example, Putin claims that he is trying to save Ukraine from Nazis. Except the president of Ukraine, I'm failing to bring his name up in mind, is of the Jewish faith. The exact opposite of Nazis. So you have to separate what the reality is of the situation from the individual delivering the information. Netanyahu is not acting as a representative of the Jewish faith. He is acting as a public leader of Israel. Regardless of what, and this is something that those on the right seem to get hung up on, we're allowed to have an opinion that is anti-action, that is not at all tied with religion. Unfortunately, to quote Obi-Wan, only the Sith deal in absolutes. There are gray areas. It is not you're with me or you're against me. It's nuanced. This is not a Judaism versus Islam question. It is hate from the top leaders of Israel versus the people of Gaza. No religion involved. At least from my perspective. That got deep. Lots of deep stuff today. This is why I'm recording on a Thursday instead of a Friday. I'm going deep. And I apologize that it's going long, but here we are. You know what? Let's try something interesting. We've covered politics. We've covered the news. We're going to call this episode 158.5. 158 and a half. This is the political section. I'm going to cut out here. I'm going to thank everyone for being here. Podcast@flameflash.net. We're going to cut out. And then the next upload, I'll schedule it a little ways out, like maybe 24 hours. And then let's talk about, but of course, for me, perspective-wise, it's just a few minutes later. We'll go into more real-life stuff in the last week. Because this was a news-heavy, lightly news-heavy week. We had some great discussions, so thank you, Keela. And podcast@flameflash.net. Thank you for stopping by for the political section of episode 158. And I'll upload a less political section a little bit later. Take care.